Welcome to this week's edition of The Green on Delaware Public Media. I'm your host, Kyle McKinnon, sitting in for Tom Byrne. President Biden signed an executive order back in March aimed at bolstering the National Park Service's recognition of women's history, calling for increased representation in national parks across the country to honor the legacy and contributions of women and girls. Allison Parker, who has studied women's history for decades and is chair of the Department of History and professor of American History at the University of Delaware, was invited to the White House recently for its announcement of that national initiative. And this week, I caught up with Parker to learn more about her White House visit and work in increasing the recognition of women's history. Allison, today we're talking about an executive order and a subsequent initiative that revolves around the recognition and representation of women's history. What can you tell us about that and the significance of something like this right now?
Yeah, I think this executive order was really exciting because it gives backing and some pressure on from the president and the executive office to the idea that the government should pay attention to and promote women's history. That's a significant improvement. That's not always the case. And the government actually has a big role in telling the history of America. And a lot of that comes through its museums, the National Museum of American History, for example, in Washington, the Smithsonian, but also through all of the national parks. And the national parks are a major source of how people get their history. But because a lot of them were originally designed with the idea of commemorating a battlefield or the house of a famous president, they often don't tell the story of women, of enslaved men and women, or African Americans. Just generally, there are people who get left out of the histories. And having the government say, actually, now we're going to focus on this, and we're going to ask you to review your sites, these national historic sites, the parks, and reconsider whether there's actually women's history there that you haven't been telling. What is the story? And then on top of that, this executive order gives some encouragement to the idea that the Smithsonian American Women's History Museum could become a reality. It was something that was kind of designated as something that they're working towards. Like, for a long time, it took more than 20 years to get a National Museum of African American History, which is now on the Mall and is a Smithsonian museum, which is wonderful. But this museum, the Smithsonian American Women's History Museum, is still just an idea. And so what this does is it gives them an opportunity to really look at and think about where could they place it? Is there room on the Mall? Where else could it potentially be right nearby? And then this executive order led to the national parks leaders making an order to all of the parks in the entire country, telling them, you need to look through your materials and see if you have really interesting American women's history materials that either you should use or that you could contribute to the new museum. So that they had a huge warehouse as part of the National Archives where they were storing all the things that could go in the National Museum for African American History way before it was built. And so they're going to start doing the same thing now to get the women's history objects, right, the material culture that tells the story, into a place where it can be part of this new museum, or at least catalog and understand where it is, so that they can pull it toward a national site and also encourage the local sites to show this material and to recognize that it has value. So it's very exciting and very important.
Yeah, I used that word significance in my questioning, and that might not even do it justice, to be honest. But, you know, UD is also, you know, already taking part in researching and writing historical studies in this context, and that the History Department has received grants from the National Park Service. Can you expound a bit more on UD's side of things here?
Yes, I think that one of the benefits of the University of Delaware and of UD's history department specifically, which also includes the museum studies program, is that we've had a really strong focus on public history for many decades. And we've always encouraged our graduate students and our undergraduates to work in historic houses, in museums, in the park service, in all the different park sites. And we have at various points had professors who have had National Park Service grants to help write the history of different parts of the Park Service, landscape. So whether it was doing Native American studies or actually archaeological digs with historians and archaeologists who are doing that work at UD in the National Park Service. We've done all of that. And then we're also now working with the parks to do a historical study of desegregation in Delaware, which is a story that includes, of course, African American history, women's history, and we'll be sure to do a very inclusive understanding of what it meant to have segregated schools and then the fight to get schools to be desegregated in Delaware. All of this is part of an effort on the part of the National Park Service to celebrate and build up the history of the Brown v. Board decision of 1954. And that is something that Delaware has a role to play in because there were about five cases that were bundled together that went up to the Supreme Court. And it was Brown v. Board of Education in Kansas that actually is the name of the case, but there's a Delaware case too that's part of that. And so the reason why we got this grant was to do that work. And then the second grant is to take the project and turn it into and help create basically lesson plans, curriculum for the high school and middle school teachers in social studies. And so these are the kinds of things that we're trying to do to make history relevant.
When it comes to you, though, and your role in all of this, you were at the White House for this initiative's rollout. Can you tell us a bit about that and what it was like being at the White House, your experience for this, the announcement?
Yes, it was very exciting, and I was thrilled and honored to be part of it. And I think that one of the things that was exciting to be there for it is that you could see all of the different constituencies who had a role to play in this executive order. And there were about 80 people there, and it included people who were the heads of the Historic Preservation Fund, the Mellon Foundation, the National Park Service, and other organizations, because part of what they were trying to do is to bring together some historians, so practicing historians like me, with the organizations that have both the funding streams and the different projects that historians could help work on. And so I'm also involved on the advisory board of the National Women's History Museum, which is different from the Smithsonian American Women's History Museum in that it's generally a digital space. Being on that advisory board has also led me to be involved in consulting in things like an exhibit that some other professors on the board put up, like this exhibit at the Martin Luther King Library in downtown Washington, D.C., that's called We Who Believe in Freedom, Black Feminism and Feminists in Washington, D.C. And it's a beautiful exhibit in the MLK Library there. And the part that I worked on was about one of the Black women from D.C., Mary Church Terrell, who I wrote a biography of. And she is a major figure in African American women's history who had never had a biography written of her before. And so this has been a really wonderful opportunity for me, having written this biography, to be able to share her story with so many people over the last several years. She was a major figure, and that's been a big part of my career right now, has been sharing that work with people.
this larger question here I'm interested in, you know, and you know, we've touched on it a bit. There, I think in some of your answers, you know, you've touched on it a bit, but when it comes to solutions to expanding the reach and representation of women's history, and not just like, you know, white women's history, but all women's history, is this executive order and this initiative something where, you know, we'd say it is a big part of how it gets addressed? And, you know, outside of something like this and needing, you know, more in this space, how else can the issue be addressed? You know, what else needs to be done? Is this strictly a legislative thing, a curriculum issue? Is it all of the above? What are your thoughts here?
I think it's really important that the language of the executive order is incredibly specific and inclusive. And I just pulled it up, and it has listed that they want the women's history that they're gathering to include the histories of Latino Americans, Asian Americans, Pacific Islanders, African Americans, people of indigenous descent, and they say, and lesbian, gay, bisexual, transgender, queer, and intersex Americans, as well as, you know, so it goes on and on. But so the point is that they're really trying to be intentional about it. And I think that's incredibly important. And one of the things that I think we all need to keep doing is doing the research that, in the case of Mary Church Terrell, my book on her, which is called Unceasing Militant, The Life of Mary Church Terrell, that was well over a decade in the making. And it takes a lot of work. But then the question is, how do you then change it from just being a book, which I did try to make accessible and has been read by a lot of non-academics, however, which I'm really delighted about. However, then the other question is, what other ways can we get it out there? Can we talk about her and other women on podcasts, on TV? Do we create children's books? Do we, you know, what do you do to get the story out into a wider world? And that popular culture side of it, actually, the national parks is an important part of that, right? It's a part of how does the story reach average people? It reaches students in their classrooms when they're younger. It reaches people, obviously, at the college level. So I do think it needs to come in multiple different ways. And museums and historic homes and historic sites have a big role to play in expanding the story way beyond what they currently are doing.
Thanks to UD Professor Allison Parker for joining me this week on The Green. And stay with us. We take a look at a new podcast from NPR that examines the rules surrounding gender verification in women's sports and the history of sex testing. That's next on The Green, here on Delaware Public Media.